You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Pacers fans, happy Tuesday. Welcome back in to this Tuesday that I already said edition of the Locked On Pacers podcast. What a great intro, Adam. We're killing it here. We're going to talk about some draft stuff because the draft is officially 1 month away. From the day you're listening, it is 30 days away. And we'll talk about some kind of playoffy stuff, but more relating to the Pacers and a little bit about a random player on the roster. But Adam, before we get started, I have to ask how you're feeling about Oladipo driving the pace car in the 500 this weekend.
Can he get hurt driving the pace car?
Possibly, yes.
I mean, that's right. That's the only concern. Do you have any, you falling up on the race at all? You're not really, right? You're not.
No, I like the spirit of the 500 and all that, but I'm not a huge racing fan myself.
Well, Marina's dad runs the Tony Kanaan team, so that's what I'm pulling for.
Oh, cool. His name's Tony, so I'm rooting for him too.
Yeah, so I'm pulling for Tony Kanaan. He's 10th right now. He's got a fast car, so we'll see. I'll be at the race.
I'll root for him too then. All right. Locked On Pacers has sponsored Tony Kanaan to drive and win the race. What if we had our logo on the side of his car during the race?
You know how much money that costs on those cars? I mean, I don't even know, but I'm sure it's a lot.
Mario Andretti's going to DM me and be like, yo, I'm a big fan of the pod. Can I put it on the side of the car?
Is it Mario Andretti like from Pittsburgh?
I have no idea.
Kanaan, at least from Indianapolis.
I just picked another driver I actually knew the name.
I'm pretty sure Kanaan's the only one of the only ones that lives in Indianapolis, actually.
Oh, well, I didn't even know that. Wow.
There, now the more you know. Let's get some Pacers stuff.
That's not – yeah. Indiana is cool, though. But, yeah, the draft's a month away, Adam, and I think it's time we start – we should probably do some of these, like, every week maybe. I don't know how many prospects we have actually planned on talking today. We could, like, sprinkle this out over some time, but we want to start talking about the draft. The Pacers have the 23rd pick. The draft combine just happened, and the only guy we heard the Pacers interviewed was Chris Jenkins from North Central. But there's no way they're going to draft Chris Jenkins.
Wilkes, you mean?
Chris Wilkes. Thank you. Sorry. Oh, my gosh. Chris Jenkins was that Nova dude who hit the buzzer.
Yeah. Yes. I was really confused because I thought, oh, Chris Jenkins, you're right. But then I'm like, wait, wasn't it?
No, you're right. When I said North Central. Chris Wilkes, yes.
As a North Central grad, I, of course, know that.
He was all right at UCLA. He couldn't really shoot. But
yeah, I don't think he hired an agent yet.
No, I think he'll go back to school. Because he could easily hit the league someday, just not yet.
He has the frame. He just needs to put the muscle and put everything together sort of thing. He's a 6'8", lengthy kid who can easily be a 3-and-D guy in the league someday.
Right. And they have the 50th pick, so, like, nothing is really, like, a value to pick at the 50th pick, you know? Like, there's just as good of a chance they draft that guy, what's his name, Cash Considerations, LOL, with the 50th pick. Then
Who doesn't have a second-round pick? The Warriors have a second-round
pick I'm about to make that joke for a month on this podcast. Oh, Adam, have you been scouting that C Considerations guy?
Wait, who the Warriors bought one last year, right, from the
– Yeah, the Warriors usually buy one on the Rockets, usually buy – like, teams that just need a youth. Like cheap youth, basically buy picks.
Yeah, I mean it worked out for the Warriors, right? Wasn't there some weird situation where they bought the pick and then the $3.5 million they paid to the Bulls went immediately to some White Sox player because the owner owns both teams and there's a little bit of a fishy situation there.
I don't know, but I remember someone tweeted if the Warriors are calling you to buy your pick, given their second round draft success, maybe like think about what you're doing.
Yeah, maybe ask who they're going to take first.
Yeah, never mind. Maybe think about it a little at the spot.
That's fair.
They're the only team that really hits second rounders a lot. McCaw, Draymond, Jordan Bell, all in a 6-year strand. That's crazy.
Yeah, but none of those. I mean, Draymond's the only one that's like game changing of all the players Bell right could, now, at least. Bell could be.
McCaw's just, McCaw will probably just be like an average wing, but Bell could be that good.
Yeah, but Bell's not even playing anymore.
Yeah, he's playing in the playoffs now.
He got pushed out of the rotation, basically.
He's the fringe center. He plays over Pachulia and McGee.
Well, yeah, because they can't play any of those guys in the Rockets series at all.
That's like random tangent. Such peak Warriors that like out of nowhere, Kevon Looney becomes like good and important.
Yeah, him and David West are like important to that team all of a sudden.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like Kevin, he has his third or fourth year option declined. He just came out of nowhere. But That's such a detriment. They drafted him too. See, they're good at drafting. So if the Warriors call, don't let him do it. But anyway, Wilkes could be an okay value, the 50th pick, just because it's a crapshoot. But I don't think they're going to draft him. And I haven't heard them interviewing anyone else.
Yeah, but that's the combine is what, this week?
Yeah, it's happening right now.
I mean, as we speak. So sorry, I forget where it's Monday. I'm off on days. Like, at school, I'm off on days. yeah, it's going on right now. So then after that, though, you'll some guys drop out. I don't know when the last day you can go back
in. The 30th.
Okay. So some guys will get their draft grades, and my guess is some guy like Wilk will drop out, and then you'll kind of, there'll probably be what, between 60 and 80 guys kind of left.
Well,
maybe a little more.
This will be good for our content too. they'll do pre-draft workouts. So we'll see, you can go to those as media and all that. So we'll see all that happening. And
yeah, that's what I mean.
They like there. Something about interviews, by the way, at these combine events, they are randomly assigned by the league. So you can like, as a team, you kind of pick, I think you pick like half the guys that you would want to talk to. And then the league randomly, quote unquote, assigns them to you. So it's not like. Well,
my guess is Wilkes had some relationship with the team
from
his high school days in the city. Wilkes
is because of some Indiana thing. Like, it's not like, but you know, you can't ever read into these and be like, oh, the Pacers want Chris Wilkes because they, you know, it's all random.
No, and I'm sure somebody he knows somebody. The Indianapolis basketball community, for as deep as it's been in its history, is pretty small and pretty close-knit. Right. So I'm sure there's some connection, relationships, kind of maybe just interviewing him so he can get it, like figure out what he needs to kind of prepare himself for other interviews or for next year kind of stuff, just get kind of a grade on himself, which is fine. It's good for him.
Unfortunately, there's probably no one who played college basketball in Indiana that the Pacers will draft to either of their picks, though. Right. So how do you want to do this? You want to just spit out a prospect we like?
Yeah, why don't you spit out the first one you like?
That'll possibly be available in that range?
Yeah.
Well, you know my first one, and I bet he's on your list too.
So let's set a caveat. I'd say he has to probably be somewhere. You think
he cannot be a lottery choice, I'll say.
Yeah, I was going to say 16 to 25 range on most draft boards. Kind of. And so, like, I know you have a reach guy. We can talk about him later. But so what's the first? Well, we were texting about the one reach guy.
Oh, yes, we were.
But we'll do it at the end. That's fine.
Yeah, my guy that everyone knows, I've said his name on here before, is Brunson, Jalen Brunson from Villanova. Player of the year, just won player of the year and a national title. He is a complete stud. He's not a stud. That was an exaggeration. But he's not like fast or anything, which is why he's so interesting. He's not really athletic either, but he's very methodical and he's a pretty good shooter and he runs an offense really well. He shot 41% from three this past year, 80% from the line, scored 19 points a game, rarely turned it over, you know, dished out 5 assists a game. He's just really full for a prospect, and you know, the defense will come. It's not bad. It's actually okay. He's just a little slower, which is why it's concerning, but he's a really good player and I like him a lot for that spot.
Yeah, I think actually 23 could be a little bit of a reach for him, to be honest.
Yeah, I have seen him falling in mock drafts.
You know, but that also is,
so I understand that.
But a lot of it also is pre, like you said, pre-workouts, pre-combines, because that this range of, let's say, like 15 to 40 kind of always changes. It's always kind of shifting at times based on how they perform and whatever.
A lot of these player of the year things mean nothing too. Like I said, that just as a thing, but like Frank Mason won it last year. Like Kyle Singler won it. Like it's not a thing.
Yeah. No, winning the player of the year doesn't mean
anything.
The last important was Kevin Durant. We won in 07, right?
Yeah. So
it's probably like really.
Greg Oden won it. He could have. Oh, no, he didn't.
Oden lost to Durant.
I want to look this up now.
I mean, I'm going through guys. I mean, I'm top of my head, like Hansbrough won in the year and he stayed another year in college. That sort of didn't mean anything to him. The player doesn't really mean that much, but
no, it really doesn't. But I want to look at the list now.
But I do think Brunson's a good fit for the Pacers.
Okay. Oh my gosh. The last six are Jalen Brunson, Frank Mason, Buddy Hield, Frank Kaminsky, Doug McDermott, and Trey Burke.
So Buddy Hield's the last one that mattered because he shot up the draft boards.
Yeah, and then the group before that's a lot better. It's got Anthony Davis and Blake Griffin and Durant. But
okay, it has some importance, but there's years where it really doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't matter at all. There's some funny names on here.
My only worry with Brunson is one is his ceiling is probably not like a top point guard in the league, right? His ceiling is probably like
you're picking 23rd. Of course not.
No, but sometimes. I mean, there are players that go in the 20s that have shots to be real, like, superstars some days. Or not superstars, but, like, in the best 10 of their position. I mean, Kyle Kuzma went 27 last year. He could be one of the best fours in the league someday.
Yeah, that was, like, he turned out to be way better than everybody thought, though.
Yeah, Mitchell went 13 and could have fallen somewhere in the 20s. I mean, there's just guys like that. I'm just saying. I understand.
It's very rare and lucky.
Oh, it's a lot of it's luck. I mean,
they have like obvious top 10 in their position potential. They go in the top 15.
But also what makes Brunson a good fit is he can contribute right away. I think he can come in and kind of be your backup point guard probably maybe in his first season and the first season when he kind of gets his legs under him, or at least by his second season, be your backup point guard at the least.
Yeah, he's already older too. He won two national titles. Like,
well, he's an experienced player. Like, you know, freshmen always take a year to develop, at least like usually it takes 2 years of high school before you're kind of the player you're going to be. 1 year of college, yeah. 1 year of the pros, but he's kind of all had all that.
And if they draft Brunson, these old men in media can't say, oh, this guy's only would be a junior in college if he were still in college. Like, that's a thing that matters when they're already in the pros. I hate that so much.
Yeah, I mean, he's almost 22 years old.
Oh, right? This would have been Miles Turner's junior year. I'm like, what? So what? He's not in college. He's a pro.
And theoretically, well, also, and theoretically, if Brunson turned to be pretty good, he'll be on kind of the same timeline as
Sabonis
and Turner. And
he's already 20.
Same age.
21, 22. Oh, and he's 6'3". That's nice. He's tall.
Yeah, he's shorter than Vic, but not as short as Collison.
Exactly. All right. That's all I got on Brunson. You're up.
So mine was a little bit of reach. Go up, pull him up real quick. It would be Lonnie Walker out of Miami.
Oh, yes. Oh, I see what you're saying. When you said Brunson was a reach, I thought you meant picking him would be too high, not too low.
No, too low. Like, he would be at 30. He's like I'm looking at a couple draft ones. He's
Lonnie like a 30. Like a close to lottery guy.
Yeah, Lonnie's 16. Yes. That's why I said 16 to 25.
He is good.
It would be if he falls. Like, if he falls, like, he could fall at 23, depending on, you know, how his workouts go. That's what I mean.
Yes, I understand now what you're saying. Okay,
I only like him because I think if you move Vic to point guard, he could easily play, kind of be the same seamless guard as Vic is. Play a little on ball, play a little off ball. You know, I just like his size. He's pretty big. He's almost 6'5". He's got a lot of upside to him. I think that could be as important for this team because really when you pick at 23, right, like you said, you're lucky to get a rotation player, but if you get a guy that can like really become an impact player, that's huge.
Yeah, he's super athletic and he shoots really quick. But I don't know. I only watched Miami once, so I don't really like know a lot about these guys.
So I watched him a couple times because they played Syracuse and because they're in the ACC, and then I watched
him. Hurt tournament. Though, that's the thing. Didn't he get hurt like twice?
He might have. I think a lot of it, they didn't really use him early in the season. They started using him much more later. He sort of kind of peaked at the end of the season.
Okay. Wow, he has pretty good per 40 stats.
Yeah, I mean, he shot an effective field goal about 50%, which isn't terrible. 35 from three, but that can get better, obviously, in the pros. And they're just like, he has a very high upside for a guy if he falls to the 23, where it's like, you maybe just take the chance.
Yeah, it takes a lot of threes. I like that. Ooh, okay. I'm starting to talk myself.
Well, it's also, he probably won't be available, but you can take a chance on him. And, you know, I'm a big believer that you don't really pick a position in the draft.
You just, best guy.
You just pick the best guy you have available because in 3 years, sure. That's when he'll peak and you don't know where you'll be as a team.
For sure. I mean, we've seen that Lonnie Walker is good off ball, which would be great for this team.
Yeah. I mean, I think a classic example of a team just picking for need instead of position is when the Cavs took Anthony Bennett over Victor Oladipo because they thought he needed like a forward instead of another guard to go with Kyrie. And that's just stupid.
That whole draft was hilarious.
Well, if Vic goes one to the Cavs, then they've got LeBron, Kyrie, and Vic on a team, which is today is pretty good.
I mean, Cody Zeller, Alex Len, Nerlens Noel is the funniest run of three picks in a long time.
Yeah, there's a lot of white centers.
And Nerlens, who just what?
And Nerlens, yeah, who never.
I like Lonnie Walker as I read about him more often.
Yeah, the problem is he could go even like he could be in the lottery possibly. I mean, that's
he's good.
He's got that kind of slingshot potential, which we'll see. Maybe he goes in some workouts and shoots bad from three and falls. That could happen. I mean, that's a lot of these guys is like just on how they shoot from three and teams liking their 3-point shot because that's so important nowadays.
Yes. Yep. I like Lonnie. That's a good one.
All right, so we've done two guards. Do you have any forwards you like?
I do have a forward. Do you want to do four on this episode or five, and then we'll do more next week and then figure it out?
Let's do four and then the one. You want to keep the one reach we had? The one guy you wanted to reach for? You want to wait for the next week?
I honestly cannot remember this discussion, Adam.
I'm going to text you the name.
I can't believe it. I can't remember who it was. Yeah, we'll do it at the end anyway, though. It's fun. My wing, I hope it's not overlapping with you. Are you going to do a wing or are you going to do a forward if that's...
If you do a forward, I'll do a forward as well.
Yeah, yes. Mine is Cincinnati forward Jacob Evans.
All right, let me pull
my... Did I steal yours?
No, you did not steal mine.
All right, Jacob Evans, solid 3-point shooter, shot 37%. Really good defender on the wing. He's 6'6", 210. He's got some experience. He's 21. And I like that he's a good spot-up shooter. I like that he's a really good defender. I like that he's pretty long. He was all AAC at Cincinnati. He led them to, what was it, Elite Eight, Sweet 16? I can't remember which one. But he...
Did they even make it that far? Maybe the Sweet 16. I thought they lost.
They had a horrible region.
I think they got beat in the second round by Nevada.
Maybe they, you're right. They did. You're right.
They were a two seed though. They were very highly ranked. They were supposed to, maybe the best Cincy team in a long time.
But what I like about him is a lot of scouts, and by a lot, I mean every single one I think I've read says he's a 3-and-D guy. And boy, do we need those. So
you can never have too many 3-and-D guys.
Never gonna have too many 3-and-D guys. As I passed up on OG last year, the 3-and-D guy. I think Evans could be this year's OG. I'm serious.
And that might be the biggest mistake they've made with this one.
Pritchard era.
Yeah, the first mistake of the Pritchard era, let's put it that way.
It was the first thing he did.
Yeah, but then he hit like four things in a row, right?
So he nailed the EK pick to me. Sumner could be something, and then he had a good offseason. So I'm okay with giving him a pass on the Leaf pick.
Yeah, I mean, I had another 3-and-D guy, same kind of mold. I think it's just they get a forward. They're not. I know I said don't pick for position, but they really just don't need to pick a center. Like they just don't.
I just read the text. Did we really talk about him as a reach? Because I love him. I didn't realize that I forgot we talked about that.
Yeah, we were texting about it like 2 days
ago. Yeah, Jacob Bevins, the third. Look into him. Cincinnati, he's a beast.
So the other guy I had, I guess he's listed as a guard, but he's pretty tall and probably can play forward.
Guess. Did he go to Kentucky?
No.
Oh, I thought he was going to be shy. All right, go ahead.
No, but the Boise dude, Chandler Hutchinson.
Oh, Chandler Hutchinson, yes.
Where he's like 6'7", but he's listed as a shooting guard, but that could easily, he could easily become, you play him a forward.
I'm hearing a lot of good things about this Chandler Hutchinson guy.
Well, it's the big one is that he's apparently a high IQ player, which translates into something.
So he dropped out of the combine because someone promised they'd pick him in the first round. Is that what the deal is?
Oh, I didn't look that up. I was just looking on boards.
And that makes me not like him immediately because what an idiot! Like, work out and try to move up your stock and make more money. Don't just settle. The rumor also is that it was the Bulls that did that.
Bulls at 22, so that's going to jump the Pacers, right?
Bulls at 22.
So maybe the Pacers make a drop in that.
They had to leap up for Chandler Hutchinson, who I literally didn't know who he was until this story.
But like, you give up a second round pick, maybe. Like,
oh yeah, you can move up and get him. He's Boise State, right? That's where he was.
Yeah, but like, if you see him, they really like him. I mean, that's worth it.
Second round pick, I don't know anything about how he plays. So go ahead, talk to me about Chandler Hutchinson. I'll pull up his
No, like I was saying, he's a long, like a tall, long, lengthy player. It's a lot of like side of the Pacers really kind of lacked at. Small forward, I guess, this season somewhat. And so Bojan, I don't know. He's gotten better at shooting throughout college. He's progressed every year, so that's a good sign. Like, he seems like he sort of figuring it out in three-point range. I don't know. I just like his size, really, mainly. It's just his length.
A lot of everything. Dang, he got some defense going on.
Hey, he fits into this defense if you're thinking, like, the Pacers' biggest asset with Thad Young and Oladipo was like the ability to cut off passing lanes with long ass arms. Excuse my language. And so theoretically, Thad won't be on this team in probably 2 or 3 years. If he is, he'll be less of what he is now because he'll be 34. So this guy could kind of be the next replacement. It fits very well next to Victor Oladipo on defensively because they play the same way.
Can we call him V?
I called him V.
I like this Hutchinson guy stat page. I'll have to watch him a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I just watched a little bit of Boise, and he just like.
Adam, who do you want so I can write a post about the guy and then put that they shouldn't draft him because it worked last year with TJ?
Who do I really want?
Of
anybody?
Any realistic person.
Oh, I don't know. I still don't know. I don't know enough yet. Like I said, I've been doing like some minimal research in the 20s guys, like a lot of the guys that are in the either guys I've seen when I watched them in college or guys I'm like, oh, I got this guy could fall. I mean,
it's about to be that time. So,
yeah, I mean, I got to get more. I got to watch a little more video, but. Yeah. I'll get into it eventually. I'm sort of once the page lost, I sort of slow walked my way through the last couple weeks.
We've all been there. All right, let's hit the stretch guy that I think. Oh man, this is about to be my worst take ever on the pod, according to a lot of people. I think he is the best player in the draft.
Yeah, I think you're wrong. I love DeAndre Ayton.
I know a lot of people like. I'm gonna rip on someone. Well, no, never mind. I read a draft profile about DeAndre Ayton that said his ceiling was something crazy, and then his floor was DeMarcus Cousins. I was like, dude, if this dude's floor was – oh, and I had him going number two, this mock draft that said this. I was like, dude, if this dude's floor is DeMarcus Cousins, he is so obviously the number one pick. You don't even have to write the article.
Not if Luka Doncic's floor is like
– No. No, if your floor is obviously DeMarcus Cousins, you're the number one pick of the draft. Like, that's crazy.
That's not true. If people think Luka's going to be James Harden.
But yeah. That's ridiculous. your ceiling is James Harden. If your floor was James Harden, you'd be the number one pick. It's just that it's crazy.
I don't know. I don't know what Luka's floor is, but people think he's going to be James Harden. I don't think there's a, you know what I mean?
I don't think he's going to be James Harden. I don't know what he'll be, but he's good.
Like the best Aiden could be is like Towns, maybe, which is
Aiden's nasty. I'm not trying to take away from Aiden. I thought that for that wording was terrible.
That's fine. I just think Aiden's nasty. He'll figure out his.
I think Aiden's the top three pick for sure.
He's so freaking lengthy.
My top three is Porter, Doncic, Aiden in order.
Okay, so you got it. Michael Porter, who
love him, and that's our reach guy, by the way, who apparently could fall because of his back injuries. Herniated discs are really bad, though, so I get why that's a scary thing.
I'm trying to look. I think he's five in the Montreal I have up. Yeah, he's five right now.
Okay, he's six in the one I'm looking at. He's 6'10". He can really shoot. He's a freak athlete. He creates his own shot off the dribble really well. Maybe he'll even get his brother to come play for you eventually, who's also very good.
I mean, he was the best player out of high school until he got hurt.
Oh, he was far and away the best.
Even with Bagley, when Bagley reclassified, Porter was still number one.
Yeah, exactly. He is just super good to me. Like, he was so good that Mizzou hired this terrible basketball coach to get him to commit to there.
Was it his dad they hired, or they hired his high school coach?
No, the guy who coached at Washington who got the Porters to commit got fired at Washington.
Yeah, and they hired the Syracuse guy.
Who hired him to just so they could get the Porters.
So then at what point does he fall, and what could you get him for, you think?
You'd have to give up Turner to get up high enough to get him, I think.
Maybe not. I think you could wake him. I mean, you have to think a lot of teams are thinking the same way the Pacers are, where what pick do the Spurs have? Like 18, 19?
Yeah.
So you got to think they might be thinking the same thing. Oh, this guy could be really good, but he could snag him.
The Ringer just reported the Clippers want him, and they have 12 and 14. So that's pretty.
Or 13 and 14. No, 12 and 13. 13,
right. 12. It's 12, 14.
So that means you got to get it to 11, which is where the Hornets are. So maybe you could somehow make some move with Kemba, the pick for – there's not enough athletes to have to do that. maybe you take a bad contract, the pick, and Kemba and something else.
You'd have to hope he falls to 8 and that the Cavs, like, love the idea of, Sabonis, TJ Leaf, the pick, and
– I think you're better off swinging it from the Hornets at 11.
Oh, he's not going to fall that far.
But that 8 is not really falling for him. 8 is like just sort of outside his range. I think his range should be like 5 to 8. But if he falls like 11 or
13. There's a lot of good prospects.
Yeah, there are. I think
after Doncic, Ayton, probably Bagley, Bamba, and Trae Young go, I think Porter is obvious. Who else is going to go then?
I'm Jaren Jackson.
Oh, and Jaren Jackson. I forgot him in the first group.
I mean, I think there's a chance Porter could go behind the number one, number two guys. I think Dodgers and Aiden are set, and then everybody else is sort of like what you want. I mean, the Hawks could take, yeah. I don't know. It depends what teams like or they decide to trade out of. But my guess is, though, if the Clippers really want him and somehow – my guess is it won't be the Cavs, but like at 9, the Knicks could make that move. I could see easily making it, or like the Bulls at 7 could make that move with two first-round picks to go up and get him if they want it. Yeah.
The injuries really are scary. I get it, but I think he's nasty.
Yeah, no, it's whether, you know, the key with any
whether it's possible or not is the question.
Well, it's also whether he'll stay healthy. I mean, his career, he could have a great couple years, but if he can't stay healthy, it's not worth it.
He could be Greg Oden. That'd be awful.
Yeah, I mean that's sort of a transition to what we're talking about next, where you sort of need, you know, you're betting on injury ridden players sometimes, and you know if they last 3 or 5 years, is that really worth all the assets?
I'm glad that random transition worked out. So that random transition that we referenced just now, we kind of want to talk about where the Pacers are in the hierarchy of the East going forward as the playoffs kind of shake out. The Cavs play tonight, so when you're listening, you'll know if they are on the brink of elimination or knotting the series up. But, you know, as the Celtics look like they're very clearly on the rise, the Sixers are probably on the rise, but they just got mashed by the Celtics. The Bucks finally have a great head coach. They're probably on the rise. We want to talk about where the Pacers are kind of in the Eastern Conference. Is that the right word, or where they're going to be?
Yeah, that's fine. All those sound right. Who do you think wins tonight, though? People already know, but who's going to win between?
Who do I think is going to win?
Yeah, I think Cavs. I think so.
Yeah. I think the Cavs still win the series, which is crazy. I think they win in 6, which is crazy.
I know, so do I. I have a weird feeling they'll win in 6.
I know. That game 5 is what it's all about. I think that's going to be the best conference finals game, I think, for either side is going to be game 5 of the Eastern Conference Finals.
I agree. So we broke this category into, we want to say two categories, basically.
Two tiers.
Yeah.
Assuming that the Pacers are going to be ultra competitive in this era, and I think they are, then I think you have to say that you only sort the, we made two tiers of like competitiveness, and one is like obvious title contender, and two is like one thing away, one piece, one coach, one something away.
Yeah. The way I phrased the first one was like teams that could win the Eastern Conference in the next 5 years.
Yes.
That like you would say, oh, if they won the conference, it would be like, oh my God, that's a shock. It's, oh, it, that makes sense.
So, and yeah, we shook it out. I put it as three teams and a player, and it's obvious who the player is. But the Celtics are an obvious one, and the Sixers are an obvious one. And then LeBron is the player. So if LeBron ends up on any of the teams in this group, they are in this group. So the Cavs are in theory in this group. And then the Bucks. You said it, and I agree, with a quality head coach, plus Giannis, plus the growth from other guys, plus Mike Budenholzer using Chris Middleton appropriately, I think they're going to be really good next year. So I think those are the four teams with the highest chances.
I think we have to just applaud Mike Budenholzer. I mean, the guy just was able to get his way completely out of one of the worst teams. Yes. Going to be like just a team that's going to tank. I mean, I don't know how many years he left on his contract, but it was a lot. Like it was more than one. I think he had at least two left, but he got out of it. And he's such a good coach that he knew he'd get hired by one of these teams. And he went to probably the best team that he could go to where, that he's head coach right now, right? That was probably the best situation of any team.
Oh, yeah, I'd say so.
You know, the Knicks is just well, how much you value Porzingis? That's the only one I would say is close.
He led the Hawks with, I mean, okay, Millsap and Horford are really good. Never mind. But he led a not ultra talented Hawks team to 60 wins. Like, he could do some stuff with this Bucks team.
No, and he's going to use Giannis the right way. He's going to use Milton the right way. And he might, Jabari comes back, he'll figure out how to use him better. I mean, he will increase this team coaching. And they won, what, 44 games without basically a coach all season, it felt like. So
yeah, seriously.
They're probably a 50-win team next year.
Yeah, I agree.
Assuming Giannis keeps progressing and stuff like that.
And then we say LeBron because if he's with the Cavs are in this tier. If he's with the Sixers are obviously in this tier. I don't think he'll ever be with Celtics or Bucks, but if he is, they're in this tier. But if he's not with any of those three teams, it's just those three.
Yeah, so the Celtics obviously make sense. They'll get Kyrie and Hayward back.
Yeah, and they have the assets to like fire up for someone else really good.
Yeah, but they have to get one of their assets then. They don't have cap space.
I know. Oh, but they'd get better. They could get better.
I mean, it would be moving Horford for somebody. That's sort of what the.
Oh, I think it'd be moving Hayward for somebody.
I don't know. I guess they would. That's dirty. That team is.
I'm going to whisper from really far away, but not really. Just me for fake. I think Al Horford's better than Gordon Hayward.
No, I think you might be right. And I think Hayward's, who knows what Hayward comes back. Like, you can't bet on being great because you don't know. You just don't know. But that's dirty. The trade player, let's say, like,
I know
a year
know,
or two to trade two guys who got hurt in your roster, like life, like career altering injuries. That's dirty.
No one would ever sign there if that happened.
No, I'm surprised players still sign there. Isaiah Thomas gets too much of a nuisance. People don't like Isaiah Thomas anyways around the league. That helps. But if they traded Hayward, I guess is a light guy around the league or is just respected at least. So
he is really good.
Yeah, he was really good before got hurt. We don't know. We just don't know. But sort of like the question, so the teams, then we had another tier of teams that need another player. And my, so like, so if they add a player, they become.
I'm going to interrupt you actually really quick, if you don't mind.
Go ahead.
I think the Pacers are between these two tiers.
That's what I was going to say.
Okay, good.
That's where I was going. I was going to say the Pacers, and I think the Sixers might be between this tier too.
Yeah, they could be. You're right.
Because you were saying they will make they'll use their assets to get another player, but that's the definition of need another player to be a championship contender.
You're right.
That's what I mean, but the.
They could. I think. Okay. How about this? I think the Sixers could win the East with just internal growth.
Yes.
Without adding another guy. But I don't think any of the other teams are going to say could have that.
But you're banking on Embiid extremely getting much better conditioning shape and Simmons developing a jump shot. That's what you're betting on.
Yeah. That was the health transition we were talking about, even though we never actually made it earlier.
Yeah. That's for the health. Yeah. That's where I was talking about health.
So the next tier that the Pacers are above. Washington is in this tier. Toronto is in this tier. And there was another one that I can't remember. Holy cow.
Well, Miami made the playoffs, but they're not in this tier.
They are not in this tier.
I don't think there are any other teams.
I thought we had another team in this tier.
No, we had the Pacers, but we took them out of it.
Oh, you're right.
Because, like, Detroit's not in this tier really either. I mean, maybe because
they had a really good point guard. I guess. I don't know.
If they could add a really, really good point guard, that might do it, but that's not realistic.
I'm thinking really hard about this.
The Hornets aren't for sure. The Knicks are two players away, probably at least.
Got the top. Yeah, I think it's just the Wizards. I guess the Hornets are maybe, but I don't think so.
But like, so the real reason of this whole discussion was, so the Pacers are in between, and the question is sort of
how do they get to the top tier?
How do they get to the top tier? So I'm gonna throw a scenario out for you, and this you might say is ludicrous, whatever it is. So, is there not a possible scenario in this whole thing where Kyrie has now hurt his knee, what, two times in four seasons?
Yeah.
He's had knee surgery. He had it.
Well, it's the same injury.
Same injury, same knee.
It screws from the first injury this time.
No, but he also had knee injuries all season from the same knee. He threatened surgery last. Like, there is some concern, point guard 25, two knee surgeries. Like, I know there should be some concern. So let's say Kyrie just can't stay healthy for more than two seasons at a time. Like, say he put together one great season and have an injury. Like, that could be Kyrie. I mean, he had injuries. Like, he's had an injury history. People kind of gloss that over to Kyrie. He's had a long injury history. He's just able to be really great when he's healthy. Yep. So if Kyrie kind of drops, that sort of probably pushes the Celtics down to the Pacers level, which then kind of leaves like this tier of the Sixers, who are maybe the Bucks, who, let's say, they don't get anybody else to surround Giannis. That's just Giannis. And then you're looking at the Pacers really have a shot without really doing much besides improving internally.
Yeah, I think banking on injuries is a tough way to play it, but I think a lot of teams have done that with Golden State and LeBron. It's just like, all right, if they get hurt, we got a chance.
Well, and Zach Lowenthal put this perfectly, where it's like a lot of NBA teams, if they ask, like, why would you be in this middle mediocrity, kind of consistently win 50 games, but no, you can't win a championship because you're banking on one injury. I mean, you're like the team that's one injury away from being a championship contender. And that happens a lot in the NBA. It happens to, like, I mean, even the 09 Magic are a great example. Like, they made the finals because the Garnett got hurt. Some of the Celtics got hurt, and that knocked them down, and then they were able to upset the Cavs. I mean, that's
– Derrick Rose got hurt in the playoffs for his first injury.
Who was?
Derrick Rose, when they were 62-20.
Yeah, but they were going to lose the Heat anyways.
I don't know. Derrick Rose is MVP that year for a reason.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't think he should have won.
Dwayne Wade, Heat team, they're going to lose anyways.
Maybe.
But, yes, I'm just saying that there are examples where just, like, one injury does throw the playoffs. I mean, I would say the Cavs probably won the championship just because Steph got hurt. I mean, that's that simple.
Probably.
No, I mean, it's just little things can throw things. And so, like, if Kyrie can't stay healthy for more than a couple seasons at a time, that could push the Pacers into this opportunity to win the East without really doing much.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. I'm with you there. I don't have much to add.
I say, besides injury luck, what do they need to do?
A shot creator on the bench and a defensive wing. And I think that they have all the pieces you need to surround one star. It's just like actually getting them to play together at the perfect times and such, basically.
Then who is that piece? If I can push
it. Oh, that was two pieces.
No, give me a player.
Like an actual player or like a play? Like, does it have to be a player they could get, obviously, right now? Or is
could they get the player in the draft, per se?
Well, here's what I'm saying. Like, if they had Lou Williams and I don't know who the three would be. Someone who's really good on defense on the wing at three and can shoot really well.
Yeah, there's not a lot of players in the NBA that can do that.
No, that's why
they might be a guy in the draft.
They're like $20 million a year players.
In the draft.
Yes. But if they had those kind of two guys, they'd be set.
Okay, I mean, could GR3 be
that guy? They had Jay Crowder starting at three and Lou Williams coming off the bench.
Jay Crowder was like, well, I guess he's pretty good in the playoffs for the Jazz.
He's good in Utah. Yeah, he's
terrible.
Terrible.
But everybody's been terrible in Cleveland. Everybody seems terrible in Cleveland.
Yeah.
Yikes. I mean, I think
I'm thinking now. But yeah, that's what I would say is the things to address.
Yeah, I also just think they need – their best bet is banking on internal improvement.
Yep, and they'll get it. They wouldn't get it. Their whole starting lineup. It's not like outside of Bojan and Darren, who's getting worse? Like, no one's getting worse.
And is that going to get better, though? I guess you're putting Sponge in starting lineup right now, I assume, right?
Yeah, I didn't mean to, but I did.
Yeah. I mean, it's those three guys and Glenn Robinson that's kind of your core right now, and you're building everything else around it.
Yeah, it's hard to see where it goes, but I think the internal development is the way. I don't know. It's hard to say.
I think it says on Thursday show where, like, the Pacers' best bet to win championship is bank on Miles Turner becoming a top 25 player. That's their best bet. I mean, if he becomes that with Vic, that's good enough. That's good enough to compete for championship for sure.
It is.
I mean,
yes, it is.
We've seen lots of teams with shooting guards and centers win championships.
Yep. If Turner could dribble a little bit,
If Turner could put the ball on the floor, that'd be. That's always the bonus. Is like as a you like him better sometimes because he can
dribble, man. He can dribble the ball,
and it's not scary.
He can dribble the ball, and he can make that fantastic pass.
Oh. Like looping over the head, it's beautiful.
But like Turner can like get to the rim on his dribble sometimes. Like he can. He's gotten pretty good at sidestepping guys, where he can sort of
slow with the dribble. If that makes sense, it's not bad.
It's methodical. Turner does that thing where he's so long where he can like almost go around a defender with his arms and his legs.
He's
unnaturally tall.
The people he is guarded by when he dribbles are the reason they work.
Yeah, but that's situational. I don't know. We'll see. But that's another discussion for another day.
You have anything else today?
You want to hit Ben Moore for a minute?
I'm glad you remembered.
Tell your article first.
Well, no one really cares about this, so I'm just going to ramble. But I wrote about Ben Moore because we're doing our player recaps for every player who played for the Pacers this season. So there will be one about guys who played less than Ben Moore, which is just Trey McKinney Jones. But anyway, I was writing about Ben Moore. He only played 9 minutes for the Pacers, so I was like, I'll look at the G League stats to see how good he was there. I watched him play 2 or 3 times. He was all right. But his stats were, like, insane. And in the G League, Ben Moore had a 64% true shooting percentage, fueled by 35% from three and 81% from the free throw line and 59.1% on two-pointers, which is just nuts. He grabbed 10% of his own team's misses, offensive rebound rate of 10%, which would have probably led the NBA. I'm not actually checking that, but that's insanely good. Like 1 in 10 shots, the 4-way Mad Ants missed, Ben Moore grabbed. That doesn't count any other Mad Ant. That's crazy good. He, as I already talked about, he was a good shooter. He had a steal percentage of 2 and assist percentage of 10. He was a good defender. He was awesome, apparently. And now it makes way more sense why he got this 2-way, because he was just killing dudes in the G League. So I don't know what his future holds. I mean, he played 9 minutes, and 3 of them were garbage time against the Suns, and 6 of them were in the Wizards game where Vic and DC didn't play, so he ended up playing the 3. But I don't know what his future holds, but there's something there. I like Ben Moore.
So can he make the 12th man on the roster next year?
Yeah, I don't know. The other trouble, I put this in there at the end, is like we don't have historic data to like what happens to these two-way guys the next year. You know, like it's hard to say what the future holds for a lot of them because we don't have what happens to them in the past.
Right. Well, and two-way guys cannot be two-way guys 2 years in a row, right?
I think they can be, actually, because Sumner's is a 2-year two-way. So I think you can be, but I don't know. We've never seen this before.
So if you have to be under 3 years, what year is Ben Moore's service going to be?
That was his first year. Yep. So he's got 2 more.
So we could do it. So he could be on a 15-man roster then.
Yes. Yeah, we'll see. It'd be fascinating to see how it goes. But I was blown away by those. Anyway, thank you for listening to my Ben Moore rant of the day. You can read more about that on 8.97.
Yeah, I would say that's a good rant. I don't really have anything to add to it except that I don't know how valuable G League stats are.
Yeah, exactly. No, I agree with you there.
Like, I'm remembering one time Rakeem Christmas put up, like, 19 and 12 for, like, 10 or 15 games in the G League, and he came in and he had an okay little run, but nothing spectacular, and was cut the next year from the
Pacers. What if I told you Ben Moore's stats in the G League were better than TJ Leaf?
Well, TJ Leaf didn't play much in the G League, right?
I actually want to look up TJ's before I say that. Oh, wow. Okay, TJ Leaf in the G League. 3 games, 23.3 points per game, 63% true shooting, 53.8% from three. Okay, never mind. TJ Leaf was killed them in the G League. Cool.
But Ben Moore played a lot of games in the G League, right? Then he played
43, yeah.
Yeah. So
that's insane, kinda... though. TJ just clowned these guys.
Well, hopefully that will translate to like what he can do offensively in the NBA.
Yeah, seriously.
I mean, you know, the one that we haven't talked about is like, what if TJ Leaf makes a huge improvement? Like,
he puts on
15 pounds of muscle and can kind of become like a bigger forward.
Isn't it random that like we never say this? People are always like, well, what if Sabonis and Turner never fit together? It's like, well, what if TJ Leaf is the answer? Because he's like, he already is an inside outside guy on offense.
Yeah, I mean, he's like the complement to Sabonis and Turner. He's like the replacement for Thad Young, essentially.
He could guard on the perimeter. It's the answer, but who knows if that'll ever come.
I just think...
He's such an enigma. It's kind of hilarious.
Well, like, I don't even know if he had... I mean, I guess he didn't have a good rookie year, let's put it that way. But, like... But he had some little flashes where, like, he had a 3, he had a nice... I don't know, he had a couple
never, things. Yeah, this is kind of how I took from it. He never had, like, a good game. You know, he had a lot of good plays and good moments, but you never had like a game where you're like, oh yeah, TJ Leaf had a good game.
We also felt like he was a step behind everybody else. Yes. Too slow. Yes. But that could change. I mean, maybe as he trains this offseason, watches more film, he can catch up.
He got hurt in summer league too, so that's part of it.
Yeah, I mean, this will be his make or break year. We'll know. I agree. I think our problem too is we really wish they took OG, and that really kind of makes us think about it. Like he's definitely not OG where OG is right now, and that's annoying because OG's
Pritch could have nailed that pick, and we're just way too early with our criticism.
Yeah. No. Yeah, and that happens. That happens a lot in the NBA where you lambast a guy for his rookie year, and he comes back has a decent second year, becomes the worst. Like even if Leaf is like a rotation player at 18, that's a pretty valuable pick. I mean, you don't get a lot of superstars at 18 pick. Yeah.
Exactly.
Danny Granger went 17, so.
The boy. Are you going to write again ever?
Some point this month, probably.
Hey, the monthly ad a preview article.
Well, I have another job that's starting, so I have to write for them.
When do you move to blank redacted?
Redacted. I move on June 1st, start June 4th. Okay.
All right.
I'll post something on Twitter about it because I got my offer thing today, so I'm just filling out stuff, accepting it. Once it's official, I'll announce something.
There you go. Congratulations to Adam on his job with the redacted United States.
Okay. Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited, but I also will hopefully we'll keep doing this. I'll be on this podcast. So, you know, I think in July we might slow down or after change it once a week because God knows last year, July and August were a slog, but we'll get back this year. Yeah, it'll just be hard. You know, I think people have to have a tempered expectations for our July 30th weekly podcast.
Yeah. Once free agency dies down, we're going to be plodding through.
Yeah, we might have to make up some stuff. They were pretty bad last year, and so I'm trying to forget about them from last year. They're pretty bad.
If you have nothing to promote, I think we should let everybody enjoy their Tuesday.
I will. This is about 30 minutes, so it's good.
Yeah, that is good. That is good. It's hard when there's no games.
There's a lot to talk about right now, though. There's a lot to talk about with the draft.
So we need a lot to talk about until the middle of July.
Yeah, then it'll be a slog, but
then it'll be enough.
That's July's problem.
Adam, you have a picture of yourself as your profile picture.
I do. Now it's me.
So you can follow Friedman M5, the guy eating the PBJ.
Yep.
We do this every episode. I think everyone who listens knows our Twitters.
Yeah, maybe we have a new listener. I don't know. Our boss, overlord, David Locke, likes to promote our Twitters every time.
He does like the new listener. T East NBA is my Twitter. Lockdown Pacers is the Twitter. We're one follower away from 450. We're chugging right along. So if you have anything to say to us about the pod, let us know. That'd be great. Enjoy your Tuesday. We'll be back. Is it tomorrow with Darren Collison?
It's going – no, went Thursday, right? We're going to do Tuesday, Thursday, Friday. We did last week.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. Final announcement. We're going to go back to Monday, Wednesday, Friday next week. Yes. We're finally done being – But, yes, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday this week. Darren Collison out Thursday for his season recap. And we decided Thad Young on Friday. Young.
And then the Memorial Week, which will be, I guess, Memorial Day podcast posted, which we didn't think about. There'll be the Bojan Lance Week.
Yeah, it'll be a good one. We're going to have to record that Saturday, I think. Yeah. We'll talk about that.
We might have to do it all together. We'll talk about that off the air, though.
Thank you all for listening. Enjoy your Tuesday, and we'll see you.